Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters at Restoration Church. It's a joy for me to be sharing God's word this morning. The very last words of an important person are always treasured. I do remember personally when I was only seven, my grandfather Ibrahim Batsemai passed. But before he passed, he had left a word that was articulated by his evangelist friend, Iria, but also his own pastor, Ezra. And they said to us, they said, Ibrahim said, that he leaves no other inheritance for all his children and his grandchildren and all that follow after him, except salvation through Christ Jesus. And blessed is the one that shall hold on to my God, but cursed is the one who shall walk away from him. And dear friends, I wish we had only seen a blessing in our lives, in our family. But we have also seen those who have chosen to walk away from the God of Abraham, and they have experienced a curse in their lives. I remember my very own uncle who walked away from church, walked away from God, and said he had found another God, a man who had declared himself God. And he said, this is my God. And this man died such a miserable death that we buried him with no single prayer. There was such a hopelessness in his death, to the extent that I, as I held the hand of my father, who was, as we went for burial, my father said to me, I grieve, I weep, not because I've lost a brother, but I weep because he has died completely. We have seen the impact of the last words of an important person. And I would like to say that the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ are very important. And we have them recorded for us in the book of Acts that we have been reading. And it's my hope that if you have not been reading the book of Acts, I hope that you will be inspired to read through it. We are now on the 14th chapter this week. I hope that you enjoy the reading of God's word. In this book, Luke, who is the writer, refers us to another book that he had written before. And he says, in my last book, as he's writing to Theophilus, he says, in my last book, O Theophilus, I began to write about all that Jesus had begun to teach, to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, Luke refers to the Holy Spirit as this person through whom Jesus's ministry had taken shape right from the beginning. And indeed, he has a record for us in Luke chapter 4. Verses 18 to 20, talking about what Jesus' agenda was as he gave it in accordance with the work of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. And what does he say? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to do the following. And this was his kingdom agenda. Proclaim the good news to the poor. Jesus's agenda was so that every person who has poverty of spirit, poverty of heart, an alienation from God, which is the greatest poverty there can ever be, that they would receive good news. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous. This is good news, that we who were enemies of God can now become friends with Jesus because Jesus paid the price. He took on the punishment that should have been ours, and he has become the bridge that gets us back to the Lord. We are reconciled back to God because of the merits of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But number two, he says he came to open blind eyes, that those who were living in darkness now have seen a great light, that now we can live as children of the light because we see. Jesus opens both spiritually blind eyes as well as physically blind eyes. Nothing is impossible for him. Number three, he says, I've come to deliver the oppressed. Every manner of oppression, be it satanic, be it a depression, whatever it is, Jesus has come. His desire, his very agenda is to deliver all people that are oppressed. Then he says, I've come to set captives free. All kinds of captivities, all addictions and vices that we cannot help ourselves from, Jesus is able to do that. This is his ministry agenda. And this ministry agenda must continue. It had to continue even when he was being taken up. And he says this is going to happen. It's going to continue through the, again, by the Holy Spirit, who is now working at work, who is going to be at work through his disciples, who he is designating as witnesses. And so when they ask him, Lord, now that you are here, we have seen, we have tested that you are alive. We were afraid the other day when we were not sure about whether you are alive or not. But now that we are sure that you are alive, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? And he's saying no. He points them to a different kingdom, different vision of a kingdom. He says, it is not for you to know when the times and the Father has appointed for the restoration of Israel. But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. As if he is saying, if it were in our time, you will be my witnesses in your zip code, 49423, Holland, Michigan, or whichever other codes there might be. But then you will go beyond that. That should be your Jerusalem. But you will go beyond that. You will go to the whole state. And beyond that, to the whole of the United States. And beyond that, even to the ends of the earth, whatever you call the ends of the earth. Wherever you will be, wherever you find yourself, wherever the Lord calls you to be, at any particular time that becomes the end of the earth for you. You will be my witness in all these areas. And what would it have meant for them to be witnesses? A witness is one who speaks of what they have seen, what they have heard, and what they have experienced. And they give this evidence. They talk about this in order to help somebody else get out of trouble. If someone has been implicated and you are a witness who has to speak the truth, if you do not show up, somebody might be wrongly imprisoned or even wrongly killed because the witness did not show up. So we are witnesses so that others can be saved. We are witnesses. We tell of what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched, how we have experienced Jesus, that what he has done for us, he can also do for others. And this is all done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The Spirit of God empowers us to be witnesses for the kingdom of God. And there are six characteristics that I would like to talk about concerning our kingdom witness. Number one, that it is a worldwide witness. We do not stop in our Jerusalem, but we go to the ends of the earth. Number two is that this witness is a witness by preaching the word. So number one, worldwide witness. Number two, the word, witness by the word. And we see in the book of Acts, Simon Peter, Stephen, Philip, Saul, all boldly proclaiming the gospel by words. It has been said, I've heard somebody say that always preach the gospel and if necessary use words. But I disagree with that statement. Words are very important for the preaching of the gospel. I would say preach the gospel, and because it is necessary, use words. God's word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the intents of the heart. It goes deeper than any man can reach. That word must be used. And it's that word that brings deliverance. It's that word that convicts. The Holy Spirit uses this word to convict. But then also, our worship becomes crucial as a way of witness. They came together. They dedicated themselves to the reading, to the apostles' teachings, to Holy Communion, to praise, to prayer, and to giving. All these, as part of worship, are a witness to the world that we belong to Jesus. In our communion, we come together, we share one cup, we come from different spaces. I remember I have mentioned it a little to Pastor Dave, and said, can we have a little more frequent Holy Communion? Because as we come together, we are proclaiming, this is the gospel being acted out. We proclaim, Paul says, in communion, we proclaim Christ's death and resurrection until he comes. So it's our witness. Jesus said, when we are as one, when we are together as one, When we have unity in the body of Christ, the world will know that we belong to Him. And dear brothers and sisters, we may come from different places, we may have different backgrounds, but our coming together, our sharing in one cup, breaking one bread, is such a witness that we belong to one another and we belong to Christ. Then, that was number three. Number four, witness by works. They chose to serve one another. They chose to meet each other's needs. And I want to thank you, Restoration. Please do not stop sharing the love of Christ with others. I was attracted to this church through one man and his wife, Dan, Ralia, and Laurel. I found them at the community kitchen, and they were coming to this place majorly to connect with people. And boy, when the community kitchen closed out and closed their breakfast time, and Restoration Church began serving breakfast, Dan invited me to Restoration. As I came, it was not just the food, but it was the connection. Some of the people that I was finding at the community kitchen were right here at Restoration. Keep on. I know that all of you, every one of you, is involved somewhere in serving others. You are opening up your homes for people to come and find a place where they can stay for a while and get stability to get back into community. Thank you. May the good Lord bless you. Keep on keeping on. Keep it up. So, witness by works. We share the love of Christ by sharing with one another. Then, witness by wonder-working power. The book of Acts is full of healings. It's full of deliverance from demonic oppression. We see the raising of the dead. We see prison breaks. People coming out of prison because others were out there praying, or because they sang songs of praise and chains fell off their hands. And God just intervened, sent an angel, and doors were opened, and people got out of prison. Wonder-working power is a way of witness. And then witness by war-bearing. Witness by war-bearing. That the disciples, as they witnessed, not everyone was happy with what was going on. They faced persecution. And some of them even died for their witness. All these experiences of witnessing throughout the book of Acts are experiences that were enacted by the Holy Spirit, but the people took the posture of prayer. It was sustained in prayer because its birth also was in prayer. Jesus had told his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until power on high would be poured out on them. And they waited in prayer. They kept in the place of prayer. And in that place of prayer, the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. And I want to say to us, whatever we have received by prayer, we must also sustain by prayer. And so if the ministry of the Holy Spirit was received in prayer, then we must always keep as a people of prayer in order to stay within that ministry, in order to continue operating within the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I would like very briefly to look at two specific incidences of prayer that the Holy Spirit worked through in the book of Acts. One is Acts chapter 10, where we find the story of Cornelius, that God reveals his heart for the world through prayer and connects people of prayer for mission. Cornelius, who is a Gentile, he's called a God-fearer, otherwise called a proselyte, a man that had turned to Judaism. But he had learned two very important things. One was prayer, the other was almsgiving, blessing the people around him. Cornelius was always praying. He had developed a culture, or call it a discipline of prayer. He had specific times when he would call on the name of the Lord. And in one of those times, as he was calling on the name of the Lord, we are not told what exactly was the content of his prayers. But all we know is that the Lord answered him in the direction of mission. How does the Lord answer? The Lord says to him, he recounts, Cornelius recounts how this all came about. He says, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your almsgiving has been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Cornelius is not a Jew. He is not a Christian. But he is praying to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And as he prays, this God hears him, and he knows another man who is a Jew, who has received a command to go to the ends of the earth, but he is comfortable only in Jerusalem. He's been comfortable only in this place. He's been comfortable majorly with his own people. But God sends him now to go to the Gentiles. And he gives him a vision of eating something that he had not, that he knew was not commanded for him to eat as a Jew. And God is saying, look, I have opened up the way for the gospel to reach the Gentiles. Would you now go and preach this gospel? And when he comes to Cornelius's house, he finds Cornelius has gathered his family and friends. And as he preaches, as Peter begins to preach, the Holy Spirit falls upon this congregation. Why is the Holy Spirit given again? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you and you will be my witnesses. So in Cornelius's house, the Holy Spirit falls upon Gentiles so that they can also be empowered for mission beyond their home. Jesus. This is how he works with the people of prayer. The Holy Spirit falls upon them, empowering them for more mission. They were baptized that very day, making their first public witness and they were to continue, therefore, as witnesses. The second one is in Acts 13, 1 to 3. The Holy Spirit was revealing his call for missionaries while people prayed. See, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, the Niger, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. When God spoke, when God's people talk to him in prayer, God speaks to them about his people in various ways to fulfill his purposes. He spoke to the congregation that was praying in Antioch and said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." As God's people pray, you do not know what God would be speaking about your purpose and your ministry. I do remember personally in a prayer meeting when we were celebrating many things, good things that were happening in my country at the time. It was 1996. I was a college student. And as we celebrated these things, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "You celebrate here because somebody sacrificed for this gospel to come to this land. But do you know that their children, whose merits, that their children are now wallowing in sin and slipping away? They are dying off." I was cut to the heart. And I remember crying my heart out and sharing with those that were with me. It just occurred to me that they were not understanding what I was saying. I have lived with this reality for a long time. It has kept hitting me, kept hitting me. And to this day, I come to the United States as a student, but much more, I come as a missionary, because the Lord has called the African church. We sense a call to the African church to return mission to lands that have sent us missionaries before. And for this very reason, I am here to mobilize fellow African students who are studying in this country and other parts of the global north to say, "Look, we have a mission, we have a call. Shall we come alongside the church in North America to preach the good news to the poor, open eyes of the blind, to declare the year of favor of the Lord, and to set captives free? Shall we proclaim the deliverance of the oppressed together with the church here in North America?" And I want to thank you, Restoration, for standing with me in this ministry. I ask you to keep praying with me that the Lord our God will do mighty, mighty wonders. And I want to conclude with a song that the Lord put on my heart as I transitioned into a ministry of mobilization of missionaries. About 5 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart. That night, as I was handing over, and He gave me this song. We have heard the testimonies of your great and mighty wonders, how chains are broken, sinners are saved, and hearts of stone, your word turns to flesh. Do it again in our nation. Let your will be done. Spirit, fill our generation. Let your kingdom come. We'll tell the next generation of your grace and faithfulness. Let them trust the God of wonders, and their children follow your ways. Do it again in our nation. Let your will be done. Spirit, fill our generation. Let your kingdom come. Send us now, Lord, to the nations in your authority. In your power, we will proclaim Jesus saves and heals. Jesus saves and heals. Jesus saves and heals. Let us pray. Dear friends, as we pray, as we conclude in prayer, I want to remind you that every opportunity for prayer must be taken seriously, because the Holy Spirit wants to work with us even when we may not feel adequate, for He helps us in our weaknesses. So if you do not know how to pray, you do not know even what to pray for, ask the Holy Spirit and He will show you. And also ask Him today that He will reveal to you His heart for the world and show you how He wants you to participate in His mission. O Lord, hear our prayer, and let everyone who prays this day remember that your heart is heavy for the world. You want to save many, you want to deliver many, you want to release captives, but you're looking for vessels to do so. We pray that you will reveal to us what you want to do with us in this, your field, your mission field. All to the glory of your holy name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.